The Adoption Experience Podcast with Lynn Grubb. Thanks for tuning in on June 7th, 2023. It's a beautiful day here in Dayton, Ohio, sunny and low humidity, which we always appreciate because we have a lot of humidity in this area of Ohio. My daughter and I were at Chick-fil-A this week and we noticed this really wonky looking stop sign. Well, I should say my daughter did because she does visual design and it really bothered her. So you'll note in today's episode this weird stop sign, and I thought it was appropriate for the topic at hand because today I'm going to be talking about stopping unregulated adoption and the different avenues it takes. There's an interesting article in The Guardian from May 9th of this year. Victims of forced adoption step up pressure for UK government apology. Women forced to give up their babies for adoption in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s are stepping up pressure on the UK government to issue a formal apology following the lead of the Scottish and Welsh parliaments. An estimated 185,000 women, most of them unmarried teenagers at the time, were coerced into having their babies adopted between 1949 and 1976. Many were sent to mother and baby homes run by state, religious, or charitable bodies, where they were made to feel shame and guilt, and some were required to do menial labor. Last year, a parliamentary committee on human rights concluded that the government bore ultimate responsibility for the pain and suffering caused by public institutions and state employees involved in the, quote, cruel and brutal, quote, forced adoptions. It called for an official government apology. Michael Lambert, an academic specializing in the welfare state who gave evidence to the committee, said the mothers and the children were the victims of a terrible injustice at the hands of the state. Forced adoptions would not have happened without the direction, sanction, financing, and organization of the state. The central governments of the time not only supported but determined and shaped forced adoption practices and created the framework upon which local practice rested. A UK adoptee was quoted as saying, "The government was at the center of policies which caused such harm to birth mothers and their children, and yet it's refusing to take responsibility. It's an insult." Belle Ribeiro Addy, the Labour MP, said, "Forced adoptions effectively sentenced hundreds of thousands of women to lives of secrecy and pain. A compassionate government would offer a full and meaningful apology for its failure to prevent the pain and suffering inflicted on mothers and their children by these practices." Ian, the UK adoptee, goes on to say that although he always knew he was adopted, it was a secret kept within his family. "I didn't look like my parents or my brother, who was also adopted. I was an incredibly anxious child, always looking for approval and fearing rejection." In adulthood, he suffered from mental health problems and chronic alcohol misuse. It was only when he sought treatment that he understood that his identity disconnection, his feelings of loss and self-loathing were linked to the adoption. Another article I came across was called Adoption Trends in 2023. Now, this is written by some attorneys, so I'm not sure of the accuracy of all these stats, but they sound about right. I'm going to tell you them anyway because I don't think they keep enough records on adoption to know for sure. Basically, it's discussing the decrease in domestic adoptions, which was reported by the National Council for Adoption. In 2019, there were 115,000 domestic adoption, which made up 50% of public adoptions. So those were foster, and 43% were private. In 2020, there was a 17% decrease to 95,000 adoptions. These numbers include second and step-parent adoptions as well as private infant. Now, it was assumed that Roe v. Wade being overturned would increase adoption, but actually we're seeing the opposite of that trend. The article quotes, "In looking at whether there is a correlation between adoption and abortion, it is found that over 90% of women who were denied abortion services choose to parent versus choosing adoption, based on the Turnaway study, which tracked nearly 1,000 women for 5 years. The study concluded political promotion of adoption as an alternative to abortion is likely not grounded in the reality of women's decision-making. It's estimated there continue to be 1 to 2 million waiting prospective parents seeking an infant adoption placement in the United States. I like how the article acknowledges that adoption carries a significant emotional and lifelong burden for the parties involved, and unfortunately has a history of secrecy and distrust. It acknowledges that it's mainly due to economic and living situations as to why women relinquish. International adoption has rapidly declined due to the political climate, corruption, human rights issues, accreditation requirements, and international laws. In 2021, there were 1,785 foreign adoptions, 235 of those were from the Ukraine. In the heyday of intercountry adoption in 2004, there were 22,987 foreign adoptions. We can see that international adoption is in a steep decline, and I think that is a good thing. If you listen to this podcast, you know that I am not in favor of international adoption because of the lack of oversight in the adoption industry. And a lot of parents do not fill out the proper paperwork once they get their kids here to our country, which then puts them at risk for being deported. I attended a meeting of the minds last week and on Zoom. The meeting was actually hosted by Meg Applegate. She's the CEO of Unsilenced, which is a nonprofit that takes on the troubled teen industry, also known as TTI. Meg herself is adopted, and she was literally kidnapped out of her bed when she was a teen and taken to a boarding school, or they call it residential therapeutic care. These are also named things like wilderness rehab, lots of different names, but they're basically places where teens are sent by their parents for bad behavior with the promise that through this program, the teens will shape up and act right. Unfortunately, that's not what happens. They are coercively controlled. They are monitored. Their phone calls are monitored. They're even monitored in the shower sometimes. They call it tough love, but it really relates to abuse. This is abuse. And the group is not just thinking about the troubled teen industry, although it overlaps with adoption because a large portion of kids sent to the TTIs are adopted. So we as a group have a lot of different interests for this committee that's being formed, which ultimately is about coercive control. And we're seeing a very high uptick in coercive control in the unregulated adoption industry. And we have some minds that are doing some work on how to address these issues. A friend of mine, Renee Gellin, who is the director of Saving Our Sisters, a nonprofit, she's also part of this group. And she brought our attention to the Hospital Adoption Education Act, which is a bill I'm going to put in the show notes that everybody should take a look at if you care about adoption policy. It is called H.R. 1475, Hospital Adoption Education Act of 2023. The purpose is to direct the Secretary of Health and Human Services to develop and nationally disseminate accurate, relevant, and accessible resources to promote understanding about sensitivities regarding adoption in the healthcare industry and for other purposes. If you are part of a nonprofit within the adoption world, I would urge you to get a seat at the table. I know Saving Our Sisters is working on that, and we hope that they will get a seat at the table because on a regular daily basis, they are seeing things happening in the hospital that are unethical. I believe that a lot of these actions are outside of the social worker code of ethics, and there's a desperate need for education within hospitals. 98% of RNs have no education on adoption. So I will be following that to see what happens, and I will keep you updated. Last Friday night, I was privileged to view a trailer of a documentary being produced called All You Have Is Love. It's by Lisa Scott, and Renee Gellin has been helping with this production. And it gives you a glimpse into the underbelly of the unregulated adoption industry. I'm going to post a link so you can see that. They are fundraising at the moment, and I urge everybody to donate money so this documentary can be completed and shown with a wide audience. I think it's really important that people, the general public, understand how unregulated the industry is and how adoption predators find birth mothers, future birth mothers, and do not disclose all of the truths about their situation. So instead of talking about it, I urge you just to watch the video. And in the link of YouTube, there is a fundraiser. So please donate money to Lisa's documentary so it can get a wide audience. One question that I pondered during the viewing of this documentary, and we talked about it at the Zoom, was the question, is it ethical to destroy one family to create another? And, with adoption being having such great PR as being a win-win for almost every situation, whether it be abandonment, abuse, unwanted pregnancy, there is this impression that adoption is always the go-to answer. And the way our family law policies are written is really the answer is always family preservation. Keeping a family together is the goal, except in the private adoption industry. And there's a reason for that. It's called money. Money is the reason that there are people who literally take advantage of a prospective adoptive parents, 1 to 2 million hoping to adopt, the very tiny percentage of babies that are relinquished. I've heard different statistics. The one during the Zoom was only 1% was quoted. 1% of babies are relinquished. When we have that many hopeful adoptive parents, also known as HAPs in the adoption world, it's obviously setting up a lot of disappointment, a lot of loss of the adoptive parents' income when they place their hope in private adoption, which really, if you want to adopt and you want to make it a sure thing, go adopt a foster child who is in the custody of your county child services. Go look at some of the kids. They're by law, they have their faces are published on websites, which I have issues with, but it's part of the way that the state does it, and that is how you can start looking for kids. It sounds gross to shop for kids, but if you're going to adopt, if you want to make a difference in a child's life, find the child that really needs a family, not baby shopping. It's gross, it's unethical, and just because our laws haven't caught up with this reality does not make it right. So I hope you'll consider the ethics involved in the unregulated private adoption industry. Share this with your friends. Please tell people that this is not a good industry to get involved in. It's an underbelly. And I, as somebody who's adopted myself and who has adopted to keep a child within our family, my eyes have been opened through the legal process, through being part of the community now for more than a decade, and successfully raising my kinship child to adulthood. I see that having her family here was a huge support. She has everything that she needs, and she does not have some of the issues that I had growing up in a closed adoption. Now, granted, 95% of adoptions today are open, but that doesn't mean that they're done ethically. Openness is not a panacea for what happened during the closed era. It's really convenient to say, hey, Lynn, it's not the closed era anymore. Wake up. This is not the same kind of adoption that you had. I'm very well aware of that. Women mainly relinquish because of financial reasons now. My mother relinquished along with all of her friends and people she knew and didn't know because of shame and secrecy and because of the cultural idea that women should not raise children as a single woman. They even questioned their psychological well-being because, you know, they were considered loose. And if you want to know more about that, you can listen to my memoir, which is on this podcast. That was a whole different way of thinking. Nowadays, it's about money. It's about money. It's about coercion. And I know some birth moms who are devastated, completely devastated over the loss of their children because the truth was not disclosed to them. And then they get gaslit by the internet, people on the internet, a lot of adoptive parents, you know, they took part in this industry and they found out too late, or they closed an adoption after promising to keep it open, and they devastated somebody else's heart. And what they don't realize is that that devastation is going to trickle down to their child. So I urge you guys to get involved. Please watch the trailer of All You Have Is Love. Please donate. Please get involved in any way that you can to stop the unregulated adoption industry. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you all next week.